This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.
Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift.
G'day, I'm Erk.
Hi, and I'm Judy.
And welcome to a very special episode 22 of Blast from the Past podcast. And today we're going to talk about an event that happened for me on the previous weekend, and that was my school reunion.
Yay!
It was my first ever school reunion. But before we get onto that, why don't we briefly tell people who may be listening for the first time, and I dare say we have some new listeners after Saturday night, briefly tell people what this show's about and who you are and who I am. And
well, who I am, I'm your mum. And who are you?
And I'm Erk, and I'm your son.
Smart.
And why are we doing this show?
Well, the reason why we're doing this show is to help me to recover from, the last few years I've had pretty much a lot of illnesses, and I've been housebound. So my doctor turned around and told me that I need to get out a little bit and to start getting some hobbies and things of interest. And so it's pretty hard for me to have interests or hobbies, really, because I'm partially disabled. I have a very serious arthritis back condition, and I'm suffering from chronic anxiety and depression. So I don't like associating with people for that reason. So you've been doing this podcasting, and I've been following it via a CD. You're doing copies on the CD. And then Drew said, why don't you give your mum a MP3 player?
So now you have your own iPod and you've been listening to that.
Yep. And also you've been picking out other shows of different people, and I've got to listen to them as well. And so I invited myself around to Drew's place to watch you and Drew do a episode, and I was the studio audience. And after the show, me, you and Drew were talking in the lounge room, and I turned around and I said, hey, that'd be good for me to do, you know? Because of having years of experience working on telephones, I thought, well, I've got the experience there as talking on, well, a microphone is very similar as a telephone. So we hashed it around a bit and everything, and Drew says, well, I can't see why you can't.
And apart from all that, for many years, you'd been giving me what I call history lessons. You know, back in my day, we used to walk uphill 6 miles to get to school, and we used to walk uphill after school 6 miles again to get home.
Yeah.
And it used to rain sideways and snow. And
I always used to say that I always wanted, with all the different experiences that's happened in my life and how things have changed over the time, I always said, you know, a person should write a book. So I'm not real good with the words, writing them down, but I'm good in them coming out of my mouth. So this is the next best closest thing to writing a book. We were going to call it Back in My Day, and that was Drew's idea, but it was already taken. So then I, through an old mate that I had a reunion with, I said to him, well, when I come up to see you, I'll say it's Blast from the Past. So that's how I decided on the name. So, and we couldn't use that. So you said, well, put podcast after it and we can use it. So here we are, ta-da, 22 shows later.
So here we are. If you want to find us on the interweb, you can find it and all my other podcasts, Erk Pod, which is the original that you were talking about, Erk FM, Echo Romeo Kilo, where I get to go outside, and this show, you can hear it all via channelerk.com.
Yep.
Or if you want to listen to all the previous shows here, you can go to blastfromthepastpodcast.com.
And download.
Download, listen to it on the site, and give us feedback. Give us feedback on the show notes or via email, erkpod@gmail.com.
And we love feedback because then we know we're doing things right, And also sometimes with like previous shows, people have been reminded of someone's told them something or they've experienced and they've sent us in emails. And or if you want to ask a question, feel free, send us in a question and we'll guarantee we'll get back to you. That's one thing we will do.
Now, we don't only have an Australian audience. We have people listening to us in the United States and in England and who knows where else. So if you haven't checked in, feel free to check in. Even if it's to say, hi, I'm listening, I'm enjoying the show, or I hate the show, or whatever.
Don't say that.
So we both went to Penrith High.
That's right.
Obviously at different stages.
Well, I think so.
And we also went to Penrith Primary as well, but again, separate time. And on a future show, we'll be talking more about the differences between...
School,
you know, when I went to school, when you went to school and all that sort of thing. But today we're going to focus on my school reunion.
Yeah, which was a big night for you.
It was a massive night for me. Right. It was on Saturday night at the Penrith RSL. And we should explain, because I know we haven't done this in the past, what an RSL is for our overseas listeners.
Yeah, that's right. I gabble on, but I don't say, I just take it for granted, you know, that they know what an RSL is.
So basically the original idea for an RSL, it was for a place for the soldiers to come back when they came back from the war and like a social sort of a club.
Well, that's why they call it R means return, servicemen's league. And that's why it was called, shortened as RSL.
Or sometimes you hear it called
the Razzle.
The Razzle or the Rissol. Yeah. And so originally it was a place for like mainly the servicemen, but they have service women as well.
Yeah.
Mainly as a place for them to go back to after the wars and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But over time as people have moved on and as... You know, people have become more accepting of servicemen and women, especially after Vietnam, from what you've told me.
Yeah.
And an RSL is basically a mainstream. And a lot of places now, you wouldn't even know. You just think it was a normal club.
When the guys used to, when they went to Vietnam, they were called up Nashos and they were 18. But to get into the RSL, you had to be 21. And that was a big argument because they wouldn't let the guys into the club until they were 21.
But it's okay to go to war and fight for the country. And
but if they were in uniform, they'd let them in, but they weren't allowed to drink. So then they decided then to change the age from 21 down to 18, like national service. And that's why then they didn't have to wear a uniform. They could go in civvies, but they, you know, just show their ID to get them into the club, because that way if they played the pokies and they won money, they couldn't claim it.
And once upon a time, you couldn't be a member unless you're a serviceman or woman, was that right?
That's right, yeah, originally. Because that's why they say return servicemen's league. But now you can actually be associate member, a social member. You know, you can, you know, go there and play bingo, and they have, you know, different social things as well. And they also, because the club now, they have rooms there where people can go there and have wedding functions and dances.
Or
and
school reunions.
Or school reunions. So getting on to school reunions.
So I went to Penrith High from 1987, when I was in Year 7, all the way through until Year 12, which is senior high for the Americans, junior high into senior high.
Right.
It was all at the same place. And but we're also including anyone who was there during those times. A lot of people left at the end of Year 10, or what the Americans would call junior high.
So how long since you left school?
This year, at the end of this year, it'd be 17 years
right.
since I left school, and I've been on the railways for 15 of those.
Doesn't it make you feel old? Now you can say, back in my day when I was at school...
These young whippersnappers, get the hell off of my lawn.
Yeah.
That's like Fort Knox. I know you've driven past there. It's like Fort Knox now with all the gates and...
It's changed so much, hasn't it? All the fences. Even you'd notice how much it's changed since you left school.
Exactly. So it was actually the first reunion for our year group that I've actually known of happening in that year. I think what they usually tend to do with these school reunions is maybe...
Every 10 years. About every 10 years because my school had one a couple of years ago, but I didn't go because I wasn't well. But my medical centre, the nurse that works there, I went to school with her, and she went to it, and she was telling me about people she saw. So they still, you know, even after my time, they still have them.
Or sometimes the actual school might have one instead of just the year that you're in.
Yeah.
The whole school might have one. Yeah.
Well, when they had our school reunions, they actually used to have it in the... They had a big hall there where they used to have the meetings and things, and they used to use it for dances and things like that. Or when they give out the certificates when you... You know, finish school, and the parents went up and watched you get your sit, like we did with you.
Yeah.
But then they moved it from the school, and they used to just have after it. You know, you paid to get in, and that was a donation, and that also provided with refreshments after, so everyone could, you know, go around, have a sandwich and a bit of a chit chat, you know, with people. But now they've decided, because it's just so many, and not only that, the school now, it's a selective school.
Mm.
So that's why they pick somewhere like a local club where everyone can go to.
And so I went the other night, and I've got to say I wasn't too sure about going. In some ways I was looking forward to it. Like, I could be in America as we speak. I could have elected to have my holidays in March.
Early, yeah.
But I decided to hang around and go to the reunion. Actually, funnily enough, considering that I've been living here the entire time,
yeah,
that I went to school and afterwards, I haven't moved.
Yeah,
I hadn't really seen that many people around.
Now you know how I feel, because when I was a kid, you could walk down the street, and like my mum would send me up the shop, say to get a bottle of milk as an argument, and I'd come home an hour or more later, and she'd say, "What'd you do? Milk the cow?" But you'd run into someone and you'd have a chat to them, you know, and you yak on, you know, like I do, half an hour or whatever, and then you get home and the milk's curdled, you know. But now
but because the milk lasts longer.
Yeah, we've got that, what they call home...
Pasteurisation.
Yeah. But now, because the way the town is, you've got more than one shopping centre. You know, you've got your favourite Westfield, and then you've got another Kmart, which they call Nepean Square, and then you've got the main street and the back street and whatever. And then you've got out the back here where I shop at Cambridge Gardens. So you've got all these different places now to cater for the amount of people. And so you, even I notice now, you very rarely see someone that you went to school with or grew up with. It's very surprisingly, you know.
But when I went the other night, you know, you go there and you ask people, you know, what have you been doing with yourself? Have you moved away?
Mm.
And there was a lot of people that haven't really moved away. They're still in here, the local area.
Yeah.
And it's just surprising that you don't really bump into, people.
Yeah, well, see, what do? The only time you would really is if you were down the plaza and you run into somebody. But you sort of go down there and your head's in the cloud. And you go into your shop and JB Hi-Fi, and you're too busy looking at what you know, around the shop. You're not worrying about looking at people. Whereas on the opposite, I'll go down there and I'll sit in the seat and I'll have a little rest and I'll wait for you to come along. And so what do? I like watching people. And that's usually when you see someone comes along shopping. I've had people come up to me. Like one girl I went to school with, and I hadn't seen her since school, and she came up and she said, "Hi, do you remember me?" And I sort of look at her, and then she says, "Oh, a name, what a name is." Oh, right, and then we get catching up. So, I mean, that'd be the same with you. I mean, you very rarely see anyone from school.
Well, I can probably count on one hand the amount of people that I had seen apart from, you know, 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there down the street.
Yeah.
For instance, I met up with Dale on the Gold Coast, for instance, October last year.
Yeah.
So I met up with him, and I've met up with Claudine a couple of times.
Yeah, but how you knew that where they were was because of Facebook, wasn't it?
Facebook, and that's the main way that the reunion was actually
put together. Right.
It's funny because, as we said, 17 years... or 16 and a half, whatever you want to call it, isn't really one of those milestone years.
Yeah.
It's not a 15th or it's not a 20th.
Yeah. So what made them decide? It's sort of in between.
Because of Facebook, a lot of us found each other.
Oh, right, yeah.
And at the moment, on the high school group, there's a group page on Facebook where we can all sort of come together and talk and that sort of thing.
All right.
And there's something like 40 people, members of that list. Mm. Mind you, at some stage, we've probably had up to 200 people, if you count all the people that sort of dropped in, dropped out, passed through, were only there for a short time.
Mm. And that doesn't mean everybody's on there.
Well, no, we know for a fact that not everyone is on the computers as much as I am.
So how many people roughly turned up?
Now, I'm open to correction here, guys, but I reckon we would have had about 40 right. overall.
That's not bad.
Which was quite good. Now, we'd spent a few months sort of talking about it and waiting for the time and where are we going to hold it sort of thing.
Mm.
And eventually it was decided that we had it at the Penrith RSL, as I said before.
Yeah, right.
And it was actually ironic that we held that event there because we had our Year 10 formal, or what the Americans would probably call their junior high prom.
Right.
At the Penrith RSL, and it may have even been, I'm not sure, even in the same room.
Right.
Which is quite freaky when you think about it, because you think of us as, you know, we might have been 15 or 16 at the time, sort of, you know, the first available chance to leave school sort of thing with your school certificate.
Yeah.
Before you go on to senior high.
I actually remember that night when I dropped you off out the front. And you didn't tell me it was a formal. You just said it was your school party thing. And I dropped you off out the front. And here's all these girls in these gorgeous dresses all done up to the T's and all their hair all done up and everything. And you only wore a pants and a shirt, lacy shirt and a tie. And actually, Mrs. Lester, the school teacher, she gave you the bow tie, and wasn't it a frilly thing that went down the front that you clipped onto the buttons? She gave you that to put on your white school shirt.
It wasn't my school shirt, it was...
Well, a white shirt, whatever. But I felt... I come home that night and I actually cried because I felt so terrible for you, because all the guys there, they're in tuxedos and everything, you know, all done up to the brim, and here's poor little old Eric going over there, you know. It didn't bother you, but it did bother me, you know, to see how they were dressed up and how you were, you know.
Because I didn't even want to... I didn't even want to go.
I think it was Mrs. Lester that talked you into it.
Pretty much. And a few people said, oh, come on, come on. I'm like, oh, we don't have the coin for...
Yeah, and you didn't want to ask me. And then afterwards, when I went home and I was telling my brother and his mate about it, and his mate John said, why didn't he tell me? Because I've got a tuck, it would have fitted him, you know. He could have borrowed it, you know. And I said, well, if I had known, I would have went, you know, and hired one or whatever, you know. But you were, them days you were too proud to say anything because you knew that you didn't want to upset me by saying, Mum, can I have, you know, because you knew we didn't have much money and only on my wage. But then I made sure when your school formal for year 12, I made sure you weren't going to be the little Cinderella bloke them days. So I went out and we got you a suit. And, you know, you went turned up in your suit and in your bag of fruit and everything, you know. And I was real pleased about that because you were done up for that one. So no one could, you know, pick you out on your own, you know. So it was good.
Because that was one of the things about the formal. The girls, from what I can gather, and I'm sure they'll correct me if I'm wrong, they really enjoyed dressing up in their...
Oh, well, that's a big thing
in their dresses about your school formals. And everything like that.
And they hire the big posh cars and they go in the cars and they get the makeup done and Mummy and Daddy are out. Because I remember when the girls next door went to their school formal, you know, and they had the big hire car and then they had the photographers and they had their makeup done. And boys is not as... really bothered about it, you know?
Unless you were going out with a chick and then it sort of mattered.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was a big thing. We never had it when I went to school. You just left school and... because I left school early anyway. So there never was anything like that. But do you know if they still have the debutante's ball?
I haven't really heard much about it. I'm sure there might be some areas in Australia where they still... Where they still do. What's a debutante ball for basically for those who don't know?
I think it's 16 and they sort of say, you know, this is for the girls. They're coming out of being a girl to be a young lady. And they're sort of being, they're turning, you know, to be class. So what they usually do is they have the long white dress and the gloves and the corsage and their hair all done up.
So it'd be like an episode of That It's a Lady, except they're not going there to be actually trained.
But what they do, because we live next to the RSL club, and what they used to do, like at the end of the year, the girl would have to have a guy to present her, and they used to go to the RSL club in the big auditorium. And I used to go up there and watch them, and they'd have an instructor, and they'd have to learn how to walk, how to, the girls had to, like, bow, and then they were presented there to come through, and they had the boys used to give them the corsage, and then they'd have to walk, and they used to go through a big, it was a big horseshoe all done up with all flowers and everything, and they'd call their name out, and they'd come through, you know, one at a time, and then once they're all presented, then what they used to do then is they'd have to dance. Well, so they used to have prior, so many weeks prior, they'd learn the etiquette of how to walk properly, and then they'd have to learn a couple of different dances, because they do, you know, like a waltz, and sometimes they do a quick step or a foxtrot or something. So they had to learn the different dances. So they'd have the music and they'd be practicing and everything. You know?
Can I change my answer and say no? What girl would do that these days?
Well, probably not.
If anyone knows, please leave a comment on the show notes.
Yeah.
Or email me irkpot@gmail.com. But compared to the formals of Year 10 and Year 12, I've got to say that even though I hadn't seen many of the people since we walked out of the high school gate for the final time, those 16 and a half, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a lot more relaxed. We weren't 17 or 18 anymore. You know, we're all in our 30s. and we're all a lot more mature than I remember. And just looking back in the photos, we all seem so tiny compared to being fully grown adults now. And
so did they actually have, like, school photos or anything for you to look at?
Yeah, they actually did put up some photos. Some of the girls got together and they put together some photos, like the school magazine when it came out. Mm. We had, like, the individual photo with the comments. Yep.
All right, because I remember that when I went to school, they had the magazine called it, because the high school originally was a miniature castle, and it was owned by these wealthy people. And the building, the main building, which is the main part of the school where all the headmasters and that are, it was called the Towers. So the school magazine was bought out every year with all the photos and, you know, people in classes and sports and everything. And they'd have, like, a thing from the headmaster and everything.
Mm.
And it was called the Towers magazine.
So they had those there so you can look back and you can find yourself. And you could also see the amount of people that we had back in Year 12 who actually weren't there.
Yeah. I'd be surprised everyone there with their video, with their phones taking photos of everybody. And
oh, there were so many cameras around. The photos are starting to surface. Oh, pardon me.
Already.
The photos are starting to surface on Facebook.
Yeah.
And
oh, that's good.
So there's some interesting ones there. They had some other photos of, like, the Year 11 peer support camp that I went on.
Yeah.
And also there was a whole couple of sheets of cardboard dedicated to parties. Needless to say, I wasn't there.
You weren't allowed.
Well, I didn't go to many parties or that sort of thing. But it was interesting just to look back.
You were a bit of a nerd.
Some could say that I still am. Who knows? Irkpot@gmail.com.
What about any of the teachers? Did any of them get invited? Or was it just all students?
No, we managed to find Mrs. Lester, who was our student advisor.
Oh, she's a lovely lady.
So she was
she's
there.
She's still teaching?
No, she's not. But
all right.
She hasn't changed.
Yeah.
If you were to look at her now compared to back then, she hasn't changed, and she was probably one of the easier people to recognise because she hasn't changed.
All right.
Whereas I was walking up to some people.
Oh, well, you've got a beard now. I mean, how would they reckon? And glasses. You never had that at school.
Oh, well, that's true. But one of the things, because it was organised on Facebook, one of the things about Facebook is that you can put your photo up and you can put a whole heap of photos up. So people have got, or people should have, some idea of what you look like. And having that, having said that, compared to seeing some people's on photos on Facebook, I still had trouble recognising some of them. Sorry, Joe. I still had some trouble recognising some of them, and some of them I hadn't actually seen on Facebook, so I had no idea.
So you had a few surprises?
I had a few surprises. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad when you walk up to someone you'd been to high school with for 6 years, and in some cases in primary school as well, and you walk up to them and you go,
who are you?
Who are you?
What's your name? That's why I, you know, why didn't they have name things? I suppose more fun.
That was on the to-do list, I think.
Yeah, and they didn't get around to it.
But I've got to say, not having name tags was part of the fun.
Yeah.
Because we had the students or the ex-students.
Yeah.
But we also had partners as well.
All right,
and so that was interesting because I saw at least someone come up to someone else and say, oh, so are you one of the partners?
Yeah.
And the guy says, no, I'm one of the students. And so there was quite a few situations of that going on. And because we had people who were basically there for the whole 6 years, and then we had others who came for the senior years. And
all right. So did Claudine go?
Yeah, she was there. Old mate of mine, Claudine, she's just had a baby, and she brought her baby and her husband along.
All right, that'd be nice.
She had about 40 inbuilt babysitters that night as the baby kept on getting passed from person to person to person.
She should be writing down those ones, and so then she can ring her, hey, I need a babysitter.
Mind you, we've had quite a few girls, I probably shouldn't call them girls anymore because they're not, they're young ladies or women.
Yeah.
But we've got quite a few of the girls that I used to know back then, and they're all, a lot of them are married with children.
What about Rebecca?
Yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
Didn't get much of a chance to talk to her. It was such a big night in seeing everyone, and you didn't get a chance to, I mingled.
Yeah. Like some people would probably just sit in their own little cliquey school group and that was it. They didn't care about anyone else.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
Yeah.
But
I notice that even now, you know, I've got friends that went to school together, and I've got a couple of girlfriends now, and one lives in Victoria and one lives in Penrith, and we all hung around together right through high school. And they still keep in contact on the phone, and every so often Rob comes from Victoria up and she stays with a girlfriend, and, you know, they have, you know, go out together and that sort of thing. So, you know, you'll probably do the same thing with your friends, probably do the same thing too.
I actually, as I said, I mingled and I tended to spend more time with people that weren't necessarily in my group but I knew.
Yeah.
And truth be told, there was a lot of time spent at the bar.
Yeah.
Because they had the auditorium, and then outside was the bar with some tables and a lounge.
Yeah.
And a lounge or two. And a lot of time was actually spent there. And people going backwards and forwards to the bar. And I dare say that some of the partners probably went downstairs to watch the sports on the TV.
All right, yeah.
Which I can't necessarily blame them for. It'd be pretty hard.
Yeah, well, actually, especially if they didn't go to the school, they come from somewhere else or whatever. I mean, you know, they'd be pretty bored hanging around all night saying, oh, this is so-and-so. Maybe they feel like they're tying their partner back too. So, you know, they prefer to let them mingle on their own, but just be there sort of to walk in the door with, you know. So,
needless to say, I didn't have the partner problem.
Right. And what about Stringbean? Was he there? No, he said he was coming.
No, we didn't see Dale, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He was in two minds, from what I understand, about coming. And with him and all the other people that missed the night, it was a really great night just to be able to get together.
Yeah.
Get together, find out, what's been going on over the past 16 or so years. And, a lot of it tended to be about what you're actually doing right now rather than go all the way back, I did this job and then that job and then that job and then that job. Finding out how many kids people have got, how many times they've been married or if they're married or not.
Mm. Well, what about the guy that you were saying that was the boss at Kentucky Fried Chicken? You were saying something about talking to him.
Oh, my first manager, John, yes. I met up with him and he was saying about how, one of the reasons I got the job was because I made an effort, so that was really cool. And then I was relaying a story to him what happened to me the other day when Squeak and I went out to a KFC outlet in northwest Sydney in Rouse Hill where we had to wait basically 15 minutes at lunchtime because they didn't have any chicken ready.
Oh, God, if you did that when you were working for them, you'd be out the door.
Well, that's basically what I said.
See what happened, Sonny? How it's changed.
So that reminds me, I must get round to writing that complaint to KFC because
I mean, back in your day, you had to have the chicken out and when you were working for them.
We had to have not only the chicken out so the girls that were at the front could get it into the boxes, but we also had to have spares.
In case.
And it wasn't just a case of...
The bus pulled up.
The bus pulled up. We were in a shopping centre.
Mm.
And even me with the three different stores that I worked at that weren't food courts, they were traditional stores.
Yeah.
We were told that we had to have some chicken in the trays out the front and then so many in reserve, and then if it got down to so many trays,
you'd have to get them
cooked. We'd have to cook some more, and it wasn't just a case of walking up to the manager and going, "Oh, we're running a bit low of chicken. What do you want to do?"
I wonder if they still, how when you finish work of a night, if there was any over, the staff would split it between them.
I dare say that'd be the case.
Wonder if they still do that.
I wonder.
Mm. So didn't you say someone from school still works for Kentucky?
Yeah. There's a couple there who still work there. So as in the training environment. So that's quite cool. But it was interesting to find out the range of occupations and studies that people have done over the time.
Yeah.
For instance, we've got some lecturers, we've got some teachers, we've got truck drivers, we've got me who drives trains.
Like your mate BJ, from school, he couldn't... you said he texted you a message because he had his kids and he couldn't turn up. So he's a trucker and he's a volunteer with the Rural Fire Service. So, yeah, they're all... Well, I mean, it takes all kinds to make the world go round, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's right. And, there's so many different people and it doesn't matter, if they've got kids or if they haven't, if they work or, if they don't or they're studying or whatever.
Mm.
Everyone that I met the other night and that I got a chance to speak to, they're really doing something.
Yeah, of course they're doing something.
With themselves. They're not just sitting on the couch stoned out of their head all day.
Like some people. Yeah.
They're actually going through and they can say, I am doing, X, Y, Z. And that's what a lot of people said to me. A lot of people remembered back from when I was at school how I used to go around saying, I want to be a train driver, etc.
And when you had your work experience at school,
And so...
You got commented on how, when you said you were a train driver, they commented on how...
They did.
You did what you said you were going to do.
Mrs. Lester actually thought I was working for Telstra because of the shirt that I had on, my Telstra Rally Australia shirt.
Oh, right. Yeah, so she thought you were working for Telstra. You should have wore your, it'd be a bit hard, I suppose. What you should have done was wore your railway shirt with your yellow Firecom jacket over it and say, "Well, here, guys, that's what I do."
Yeah, what do I do, yeah.
Yeah, they'll say, oh.
But the ironic thing about it was that I was actually working that afternoon, and then I went. Then I
you
went
came
basically
home and came home, got changed, and off again.
And off again. So overall, a really good night. Lots and lots of fun times, and you know there were stories, and you know a lot of things that have probably been back in the memory banks of some people, and then you know you tell a story just like we do on this show.
Well, it's good to hear that we're not the only one that says back in my day. So now you can do the same thing now. So when's the next school reunion going to be? Did they say anything about it?
Probably 20.
So that's only another 3 years.
But having said that,
sooner than later.
But having said that, I dare say that a few of us will be getting together.
Yeah.
And maybe next time it'll be spread further.
Yeah.
Than Facebook. But I dare say that now that the first one's been held and the ice has been broken,
yeah.
I don't think that it's going to be that long.
Yeah, it's surprising they didn't have one, say, after 10 years, instead of leaving it so long. I suppose everyone was too busy on going on with their lives and couldn't be bothered.
And having said that, with Facebook and things like email, it's so much easier now.
No.
Like, we are going to probably have to explore other ways for people who aren't necessarily on the computer or on Facebook. I know in the Daily Telegraph or even the local Penrith papers, you see ads for, you know, the class of whatever.
Yeah, I've seen those. That's how they actually organised our school reunions, because there was no such thing as computers. And what they do is, like I said, my friend Chris that works at the doctor's, and she said what they do is like one person tells one, and so by word of mouth, I mean, the biggest advertiser going is word of mouth.
Mm.
So, I mean, you could organise it that way.
But you know? Now that we know, you know, that we've all got together, we don't all hate each other, and, you know, there's not going to be a need for the riot squad to turn up. And
but no, that you don't have to have it in a club. I mean, you could have a family, you know, like a school reunion. And for that, like a lot of people may not have turned up because they do have families.
Mm.
And so they think, well, my family's more important than a silly old school reunion with people that I don't get on with or don't see or, you know. So, I mean, we had a family reunion. And, I mean, we met cousins and great aunties and uncles that we'd never even heard of. And we went to a national park. I mean, you wouldn't remember it. You were only six. But we went to a national park and, you know, and they had a picnic day and everyone took a basket, picnic basket, and they took photos and all this sort of thing to keep. And then afterwards, when it went through all the formalities, and then people had their picnics and whatever, and then you individually went round to different people. Well, they could organise instead of a club night. See, maybe even if, like, they had it at the RSL and, like, Claudine was the only one that turned up with a baby. I mean, why other people, if, you know, they could have been told that they could bring kids.
Well, they actually were. There was, you know, kids and partners welcome.
Mm, but maybe it should be more emphasised on that sort of thing, you know, because a lot of people don't like taking kids to clubs and stuff, you know. When you were little, I wouldn't take you to a pub or a club. I'd leave you at home, you know. So, I mean, there's still people now that feel the same way. They don't want their kids around alcohol, and even though it's in a separate room, it's not the point.
Yeah.
It's still in a club.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the night, actually, that there were no real formalities.
No fights and arguments?
No real fights and arguments. The biggest fight that we had was trying to get a cab to come
get
home.
Well, that's pretty good that it, you know, it turned out a good night, a successful night. And then, as you said, you know, maybe they'll be more excited to organise the next one, you know, and maybe a few people will get in and contact other people and, you know, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's, you know, different people keep in contact, you know, and then again, other reasons too, like you work shift work, well, other people may not have been able to make it. And that's probably why they didn't turn up either. And the weather's got a lot to do with it.
Mm.
You know, because, I mean, you got to admit, when I dropped you off, it was pouring down rain. So, I mean, people at the last minute, like you said, Stringbeam was going to come, but then he didn't turn up. And you said, oh, you know, he'd been in contact with Claudine. And coming from Queensland...
Even her was the last minute.
Well, she turned up at the last minute. She was coming and then iffy. But, I mean, like, for Dale, he's got to come from Queensland. Well, he may not have been able to get away from his job, and financially he may not have been able to afford to either drive down or fly down.
Yeah, well,
I
dare say that...
Accommodation...
I dare say that he wouldn't have been the only one.
Yeah, but I'm in that sort of situation. Using that as a prime example in why people don't turn up, you know.
And so now that we've had one, and the word will get spread around.
And what a great night they had!
Firstly, just for all the people on Facebook, it'll spread to those people who weren't necessarily there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then who knows who they're in contact with, sort of thing. So it was a really good night, and it was really good to see all of these people that I knew as teenagers and children to see what they've turned out like as adults, and, you know, to be able to have a mature conversation and to be able to, you know, see people talking on a professional level to other people and that sort of stuff. And it was a really, really good night. And, unfortunately, I think there were a few people who were thinking, oh, you know, the night shouldn't end.
Yeah.
And...
But, I mean, what time did it finish?
Well, we sort of basically got kicked out of the RSL at about 2 a.m. final drinks.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That was pretty good. Mm. And this is one of the things that has changed since, you know, since we were like that 17, 18-year-olds. You know, there were places to kick on...
Well, then the clubs used to shut. I think it was 11 o'clock.
No, not when I was that
age. Well, my day it did. It used to close about 11, and then it was midnight.
Well, put it this way, we would have been able to get into Panthers back then as teenagers, or, you know, early 20s or whatever. We would have been able to get into Panthers, the local leagues club. We would have been able to get into there quite easily, but... Mm. With all the lockdowns and shutouts and whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, for the drinking and stuff.
Basically, if you leave, like we left the RSL at 2 a.m, some of us, for final drinks, not all of us.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be rather cool, actually, to have a daytime, like, as you said, something like in a...
Yeah.
Reserve or, like, have a picnic or whatever.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of places around here. I mean, look at the local out the river there. What's wrong? You could organise to go out there and have a picnic and, I mean, they have... You can all get the special buses from the railway. I mean, if they got a, you know, good crowd, they could go out there and organise a picnic day out there. And also out there at the lakes, you can also... They've got a restaurant there now. Mm. And you can have meals out there and breakfast and lunch and night meals and all. So,
and for those people who have got families, well, they can, you know, their kids can meet other kids and that sort of stuff. And then the adults might want to kick on.
Good old Aussie barbecue. What's wrong with having a good old Aussie barbecue, you know? Mm. And those sort of areas, they always cater for barbecue picnics and that sort of thing, you know? So, I mean, there's plenty of safe places and like public toilets and everything else. You don't have to go to a club to have those sort of things.
No.
You know? So by just saying that, that's just one venue that we could think of, you know? So, I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't organise other places, you know? Yeah. So.
But having said that, major kudos to Nicole for organising everything basically from Queensland over Facebook.
Yeah.
And also John, who looked after the financials for everything. I hope that he's not in Mexico right now.
So what's the finance? What, do you have to pay or something?
Oh, well, it was a fully catered event.
Yeah. So what, you had to pay some money towards it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's all right. So as long as they weren't out of pocket.
No, as far as I know, everything was sweet. But it was very, very well organised. But it wasn't organised to the degree that, you know, 7 o'clock you turn up, you know, 7:05 you sit down, 7:10 you have, you know, your first course and that sort of thing. It just all flowed, which was really good. Like, the ladies at the RSL, they'd put all the food out and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And the word to get spread around, you know, the first courses on or the main courses on or desserts on or whatever.
So if you wanted it, you could, and if you didn't, well...
Yeah, if you were quite happy to sit around the bar for a while, well, you could do that.
Mm.
If you were quite happy to, you know, go back, have your food as soon as it came out.
Did they have any music?
There was a jukebox in the corner.
Was it playing?
Yeah.
All right. I was just curious because I thought with everyone yakking, it'd be pretty loud. No, you get a whole heap of people. You get that rhubub, rhubub, mumble, mumble, you know, in the background.
No, so. Actually, the music was, I don't know if it was done on purpose. I actually didn't go through and look through all the songs that were in the jukebox. Normally I do.
Yeah.
Because I was basically
out. Too busy yakking.
Too busy yakking, too busy drinking.
Surprise, surprise. Because well, normally when you go somewhere, I'd say, what did someone say? Oh, no, I didn't ask. Yeah? Typical boy. Whereas if you said that to a girl, she'd be able to tell you what they wore, what they said, what everything, you know. A girl doesn't miss very much at all, you know. Whereas a guy usually is the opposite.
Well, as I say, I didn't get around to see everyone.
Yeah. Oh, well, you wouldn't be able to.
With the time constraints and that we had. Yeah. And I was there reasonably early.
Mm.
Some people rocked in at the later than I did.
Yeah.
And I was there pretty much until closing. I was there until the end.
Yeah.
But maybe next time, who knows? But it was an interesting night. As I said, I was stunned by how some people's appearances have changed.
Yeah.
They look totally different.
Yeah.
Although having said that, you know, we're all older, and we all don't look the same as when we were at high school.
Oh yeah.
But for the funny thing was, as soon as some people spoke, they have the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they open their mouth, you know exactly
what they were going to say.
Who it is, or
yeah,
or whatever.
Well, some people have the same old "G'day, mate, how you going?" You know, or "Hi," whatever. You know,
yeah.
So and they say that all the time. They don't change. You know, so you'd know probably. You'd hear someone behind you talking to someone else, and you'd say, "Oh, I know that voice."
Yeah.
You know, so.
And it's quite freaky after that amount of time.
It comes back to you.
That it comes back. And and then you think, and I was saying to some people the other night, you think about some of the things that happened back then, and we won't go into some of the things that happened because we'll be here all day.
That's right. But time's up.
Time's up, is it?
Yeah.
But you think about some of the things that happened, even when it comes back to subjects that you did or things that you were taught, and then you think how insignificant...
Yeah.
Things are, and how kids seem to, back in my day, you know, rush out of school and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were quite happy doing what we're doing now, but we're all adults.
Well, look at Stringbean. He left school and he was learning to be a pastry chef. And you said now he's driving cabs. When you went up there and you seen him up on the Gold Coast, what was he? He was working in a restaurant or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's gone from a restaurant job now to run around in a taxi. I would hate to get in the cab with him. Sorry, Stringbean, but if your driving hasn't changed from when I last saw you, I wouldn't get in the cab. I'd walk past him to the next cab.
But we should give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, well, a leopard never changes its spot. Might be fatter, might be wiser, but they still similar. So, anyway, that's about wrapping it up for today. I think we've catered for pretty well all of it.
Before we go to wrap up,
you got a special hello there.
Yeah, got a special hello. G'day to Glenn. He's going through a very difficult time, and I won't pretend to know exactly what you're going through, mate, but I just like to... remember some of the funny times that we had back in high school. He's a real practical joker sort of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Very quick-witted, very intelligent. Made us laugh often and often, and it was sad that you couldn't come the other night. And
yeah.
You know, the cards that have been dealt out, but
yeah.
You know, it's very very sad. And Mother Nature's a real bitch sometimes.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Let me just say that. I agree. So there's a special hello to you, Glenn. Everyone out there knows who Irk's talking about. And so now we'd like to dedicate this special song, and it's called My School Days, and it's sung by James Wills. So take it away, Mr. DJ.
As I think back to my school days, I remember all the good friends I made. Laugh them cutting up and acting so silly. Those friends sure mean a lot to me. Cruising Main Street with the radio on, going to the show for your first date. Back in the days when we acted real cool, walking down the hall, holding hands, drawing a figure of a heart in the sand, carving your name onto a tree for all of her friends to see. Back in the days when we acted real cool, I'll never forget the people from my school days.
That song was quite appropriate. That was called My School Days by James Wills.
It was very to the point, wasn't it?
It was. Mm. You can hear more music like that, and who knows what else on my music show, Irk FM, which is released at the end of each week.
On a Friday.
On a Friday. And very soon I'll be going to the United States. We're releasing this episode out of sequence because of how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that everyone took it in the right spirit, the way that this show was, and you know, take some things on board about maybe holding another reunion
very soon.
Not in 17 years.
Maybe 3 years, and that'll make it a 20-year reunion.
It will be, but I dare say that a few more of us will be keeping in contact now that we know how easy it is, and that we're all, that a lot of us are still local, and that sort of thing. It was, as I keep on saying, it was a really interesting night. It was a real eye-opener, and it probably closed off some doors that might have been open, you know, that sort of thing. So
put some skeletons back in the closet and shut the door.
And padlocked and...
Throw away the key.
That's right. So that was cool. If you'd like to comment on this show, you can leave a comment on the show notes, blastfromthepastpodcast.com, or email me irkpod@gmail.com. I'll put a link to my Facebook in case you're a Facebook member, so you can have a look around that as well, and probably see some of the photos that other people took. I didn't actually take any the other night because the girls had that well and truly.
You're too busy flapping your jaws or lifting the glass.
Yeah, that's right. Change. That's right. And I don't get to go out and drink
very often.
That often because of work and that sort of stuff, and for worked fairly obvious well. Reasons. So it worked out really well, and I'm really glad that I went. And
thanks for everyone that turned up.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who turned up. Thanks to everyone who helped organise things. If it was, you know, the actual event or the notice boards, the tributes to Glenn that were going around as well. You know, it was really good to see everyone that was there. We missed so many people who we didn't see, but you know, there's always next time. You never know.
Next time.
There's always
could be bigger and better. You can only improve.
Well, that's it. I dare say straight out of the box it was pretty good.
You probably see that because people telling everybody what a great night they had, and they won't be able to get to the next one quick enough. Yeah, you know, they'll be knocking down the door.
Well, that's it. Might be a bit hard to knock down the door if you're in a park or the lakes or whatever. Well, but depends. I know what you mean.
Okay.
So it's all good. Don't forget to check out all my shows on channelirk.com, and then you can go back and look at the individual sites for previous shows. I've had people mention Drew, my Irk Pod co-host, and ask how he was going the other night. One of the guys was listening all the way back to when Drew and I went to McDonald's and we were taste testing burgers for our mate Richard from the Wasting Time podcast.
Oh, I remember you saying about that, yeah.
So it was.
But then
cool.
Not only that, maybe people that you saw can tell the people that they know that went to school with you that if they want to hear about what happened on the night, to plug into Irk FM and listen to Blast from the Past, show number 22, and they'll be able to play it and listen.
If you want to actually send me a MP3 file, if anyone wants to, they can, and just talk about the night or talk about some of the funny things that happened, or send me a voicemail.
Yeah, well, we can put it on a show we can put coming it on. Up.
Yeah,
because we do feedback shows, so you can also do that, and Eric can talk about it on the feedback special.
The voicemail number inside Australia is 0280 036 905. Outside Australia is 612 80 036 905. Or if you're on Skype, you can leave it via the Skype ID of IrkPod, and we'll play any of those that we get on a upcoming feedback show.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be rather cool indeed.
And that won't be till June, till when you come back from the States.
But keep the feedback coming in, because I will be checking my email and that sort of stuff. So keep the comments going. Now, one of the major reasons that I'm going to the States is to meet up with other podcasters and podcast listeners and seeing all the touristy sort of stuff as well. So I'd like to finish with one of the authors that I'll be listening to a lot in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I might even get the chance to meet him as well. So we'll finish with this promo from JC Hutchins, and this is his latest project.
In the Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy, author JC Hutchins sent you underground to a secret human cloning factory. You clawed your way to the surface. You survived. Prepare to head into hell again. Welcome to Brinkville Psychiatric Hospital, the setting for Hutchins' next novel, the supernatural thriller, Personal Effects, Dark Art. It's a rotten place with a bloody history. Nine stories of howling madness, built inside an abandoned brownstone quarry. Locals call it the Brink. And now, J.C. Hutchins and creator Jordan Weissman are opening the doors of their bloody creation before the book's June bookstore debut. But you're not getting a guided tour of the Brink. You're being committed. Become a part of publishing history by admitting yourself to the Brink and becoming a patient of art therapist Zach Taylor. Inject yourself into the personal effects universe. Create a patient profile. Receive your admittance papers. Contribute artwork. And earn the insanely cool privilege to appear on Brinkvale Psychiatric's official website. Find your first art assignment now at jchutchins.net/thebrink. Fill out your patient paperwork, submit your art, and come back for more assignments. Get creative. Get crazy. Get committed. Go to jchutchins.net/thebrink for more information, or visit jchutchins.net/personal effects to learn more about the book. Coming this June.
Who knows, I could find myself in a second book if I do that.
I was waiting for them. Yeah.
But that's one of the things about Potier books and all this sort of stuff. You can get yourself involved and interact with the authors, and that was quite cool.
That's right.
Good night, Interweb.
Good night, Interweb. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift. Judy's got a stick shift.
Class dismissed.
Ring the bell, quick.
Actually, that was one of the things I used to do.
Bell boy.
Yep.
Yeah, we used that in primary school. Ding, ding.
Or press the button.
Dismissed. All right, you kids, get off the bloody grass. Go home.
Get the hell off my lawn.
Piss off.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. There's no ease in podcast and no ease in blueberry.com.